And nice to see you all. Our service this morning is going to be led by Martin. I'm going to share the screen now and then hand over the reins to Martin, who's going to tell us what's what. Yours, Martin.
Thanks very much, Paul. Welcome everybody to our service together this morning, and pray that we'll receive a blessing from God. Let's start our time with prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come into your presence, we offer ourselves to you as your children. We thank you, Lord, for your love and your kindness. And we pray now that as we worship this morning, sing songs, as we reflect on your word, as we hear from one another, Lord, we pray that you would bless us and that we would receive from you. Be with us in all that we do, in your name. Amen. Paul, can you mute everybody?
Oh, yes, sorry. Yeah, I haven't done that.
No, sorry, it's just background noise is a bit...
Right, hang on, let me just... Okay. Right.
Thanks very much. I've unmuted myself, but that's fine. That's probably most people would like me to stay muted. But
I normally do unmute, actually.
Not a problem. So welcome, everybody. Let's start our service together this morning with our first hymn, and this is Our God.
Power of God, our God.
great declaration of a truth there in that chorus. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, our God is healer. And if God is for us, then who can stand against us? I'm assuming that Ma is with us. There's a phone number at the bottom without a name. So I'm assuming that's Ma. And Ma has agreed to do our reading for us today. So she's going to be reading from Mark chapter 8. So I'll hand over to Ma.
Good morning. I'm reading from Mark chapter 8, verse 27 to 38. Jesus and his disciples left Galilee and went up to the village near Caesarea Philippi. As they were walking along, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" Well, they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say you are one of the other prophets." Then he asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Peter replied, "You are the Messiah." But Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Then Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of the religious law. He will be killed, but 3 days later, he will rise from the dead. As he talked about things openly with his disciples, Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him, saying such things. Jesus turned around and looked at his disciples, then reprimanded Peter. "Get away from me, Satan," he said. "You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's." Then calling the crowds to join his disciples, he said, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in the glory of his Father with the holy angels."
Thanks very much for reading that so clearly, Ma. We're going to sing our second hymn, which is "Will You Come and Follow Me?"
Call your name. Will you go where you don't know and never be alone?
Let's just offer ourselves to God as we listen to his word. Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible. And we thank you for the revelation that is in there, for the challenges that it lays before us, and for the instruction that it gives us. We pray that you would open our hearts to receive now from your word in your name. Amen. Ma read that reading in a lovely fashion. And it's a great reading because there's so much in there. And I've tried to keep the message today short, and I've narrowed it down to like three questions for you to consider this morning. And hopefully I'm not going to take too long on all of them. So the first question is, who am I? How many of you remember from your childhood a game called Guess Who? I used to love playing that. I used to try and find out who somebody was looking at on their little flip chart thing on the game. And you'd have to try and work it out by asking certain questions. So for instance, like, does your person wear glasses? And if you said no, you flipped down all the ones that wore glasses and so on through the game. And the art of the game was really to try and find a question that you could put down as many little things down as possible to eliminate as many people from your choices as possible to guess who the other person was looking at. And through life, I think most of us at some point ask that question, who am I? Why am I here? What am I doing? What's my purpose in life? And I think no matter how old we are or how young we are, at some point we think, who am I? What am I doing? It's interesting that Jesus asked this question of his disciples. He didn't ask them who they said he was initially. He asked straight away, who do people say that I am? He didn't ask this because he needed verification of who he was. I think Jesus was absolutely certain and confident in his own personality and who he was. I think he knew his mission and there was no issues. But he wanted to know how everybody else saw him. The disciples answered, some people say, you're Elijah or John the Baptist to come back from the dead. And these were major Hebrew Israelite people that the Israelites looked up to. So the one was historical, Elijah, and the one was much more recent, John the Baptist, who had not long been, beheaded. And there were people that the Israelites looked to, and they were also there as references throughout their prophetic words in the seeking for a Messiah. So Jesus was not perturbed by these answers of people looking for who he was. He said to the disciples, but you, who do you say that I am? Now I know, because I recollect that I've spoken on this passage before, and I've thrown the challenge out to each one of us about who do we say that Jesus is. But Jesus said to his disciples, the very people who'd been walking around with him, had been following him, had seen him doing miracles, had listened to his teaching, had learned from him, and he said to them, but who do you say that I am? I find it interesting that this scripture doesn't give us any indication as to how long it took the disciples to come up to an answer. Was there a discussion amongst themselves? Were they debating with one another about what Jesus was asking? But then we're just told Peter speaks up. And I've said this to you before, I love Peter. It's almost like I engage my mouth before I engage my brain, Peter. And he says, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. I wonder how Jesus felt about that answer. Did he think, great, they understand who I am. They know what's coming. They have been waiting for me and they've got the message. They've understood it. But the interesting thing is, he says to them, don't tell anybody what you just said to me. It's like, this is like the biggest revelation in history. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You're the one we've all been waiting for. And then Jesus says, great, but don't tell anybody. And I find that fascinating. I wonder if the disciples thought, oh, maybe we got it wrong then. Maybe he's not. But he just said to them, don't tell anybody. I wonder if we really recognize Jesus for who he is. I mean, we can't see him. We can't touch him. And all we have to go on is the teachings of the Bible and this thing called faith. But the question still stands today. Who do people say that I am? So what's your answer? What do people around you say to that? The second question from this passage I want to look at is, what do you think? So Jesus went on to explain that his mission was to be taken. Is somebody vacuuming in the background? His final task was to be taken and beaten and cruelly killed. And he's explaining this to the disciples who have just understood that he is the Messiah. And then Peter, again, the one who had this great revelation, comes and objects to what Jesus is saying. He's telling him off for saying these things. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. What a thing to say to this apostle who has just revealed that he's understood who you are. But the point was that Peter wasn't seeing it from Jesus' perspective. He's looking at it from his own point of view, from the human perspective, saying, no, these things can't happen to you. But Jesus said, get behind me, because you haven't got the plans of God in your mind. I wonder how we respond when God suggests things that are going to happen in a different way to the way we think they should happen. Maybe the going forward of church as we go back after all this break, after COVID. Maybe it's going to be different. Maybe the way we do church is going to be different. Maybe where we meet is going to be different. How we meet, who speaks, who's involved is going to be different. Maybe it's not going to go the way we think it should go. But do we trust God to know that he's got a plan? And even if that plan doesn't conform with what we think is the best way forward, are we willing to really trust him? What do you think? And the final question from this passage is, will you follow? Will you follow? Jesus closes this passage with the offer to follow him. He explains that the way ahead is going to be difficult. It may cost us to follow him. He says, you must take up your cross and follow me. You must be prepared to give up family, friends, work, houses. You must be prepared to move across nations. You must be prepared to do things that are going to cost you to follow me. It's not a bed of roses. It's not an easy life. It's not an easy walk. It's not just for you to come in and say, I'm part of this. He puts it down in such a way that it puts some people off. But the question is, will you follow? Will you follow where Jesus leads? Will you go the way he goes? And if it meant that we don't crucify people today, but if it meant, as some of the disciples did, that your life was on the line and you were possibly going to be crucified, Jesus says, will you follow? Will you come with me? Will you walk this walk with me? I don't know of any passage in scripture that states that following God or being a Christian will be easy. There are many passages that suggest that even state outright that the Christian must be prepared to be persecuted, that we will have difficulties and even face death for our faith. So will you follow? Will you take the decision to be the Christian that you've chosen to be? Will you stand up for what we believe, for the Bible, for the truths, for Jesus and what he did? Will you walk the walk of faith, trusting in him and in him alone to guide you, to protect you, and to be with you in every situation. Will you follow? Plenty to think about from that short passage. And there's lots more in there that I could bring out, but we don't have time. So, who is Jesus? What do you think about his plans? And will you follow and trust in him? Let's sing our next hymn together, which is, "Will Your Anchor Hold in the Storms of Life?"
Will your anchor hold in the storm of life, when the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the storm tides lift and the cables strain? Will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock that cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Will your anchor hold in the straits of fear, when the breakers roar and the reef is near, while the surges rave and the wild winds blow? Will the angry waves your bark overflow? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock that cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Will your anchor hold in the floods of death, when the waters cold chill your latest breath? On the rising tide you can never fail, while your anchor holds within the veil. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock that cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Will your eyes behold through the morning light the city of gold and the harbor bright? Will you anchor safe by the heavenly shore, when life's storms are past forevermore? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock that cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love.
Knowing that we are safe and secure and grounded firm and deep with Christ as our anchor. Paul's going to lead us in our prayers of intercession and the Lord's Prayer. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Martin. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, we just give you thanks and praise that you are our anchor, our rock, our strong tower in times of trouble. And Father, we know that you never promised us an easy life on this earth. And particularly, Father, if you want us to follow you, that we should be prepared for the storms and the trials and the tribulations of the world, Lord, in which we live. Because, Father, as we can see around us even now that we are living in a world full of evil and of antagonism towards you and towards the gospel of Jesus Christ, we pray, Lord, that for this world, Lord, in which we live, we pray, Father, for those areas where there is opposition, Father, to your word and to your truths, where there are lies, Lord, instead of truth, where there is persecution, Father, instead of love, where there is war instead of peace. We pray, Lord, for your protection, and we pray, Father, for your closeness, Father, to us, that you might sustain us, Father, through the times, Lord, when there are difficulties and things, Father, in life. We thank you, Father, for that word that you've given us this morning, where you've challenged us, Father, to think, Lord, about our faith and how far, Father, are we prepared to go in your name. If, like Job, Lord, all the things that we have are taken away from us, would we still follow you or would we give up? We pray, Father, for the spread of your word, the spread of your gospel throughout the land. We pray, Father, for those who are entrusted, Lord, for preaching your word. We pray particularly, Lord, for pastors and ministers and teachers and preachers, Father, everywhere, that they might be given strength, Lord, to preach the word boldly in season and out of season. And particularly, Father, for those things, Lord, that people don't want to hear. Because, Father, we know there are so many parts of your word that are very challenging to us, Lord, and we prefer, Lord, to block our ears up rather than listen to them. We pray, Father, for those that are suffering at the moment, those that are suffering, Lord, because of illness, those that are suffering, Father, because of bereavement, those, Lord, that are facing challenges with their jobs, those that are finding life, Father, just too difficult to manage at the minute. We just pray for them. And we pray, Father, that somehow, Lord, that you might speak to them in the midst, Lord, of their darkness. We pray too, Father, today, particularly for this church here, Lord, at Kingsthorpe, for Methodists and Baptists. Lord, they're only just names, Father, because, Lord, you made us one. You wanted us, Father, to come together to worship and to praise you. We just ask, Lord, that we might just see you, Lord, as our leader, that there might not be divisions, Father, of any shape or form. We pray, Lord, particularly for the service next Sunday as we meet together, Lord, in the building, Lord, for many months. We pray, Father, there might be a sense of unity, a sense of your spirit moving among us. But also, Lord, that you might prepare us, Father, for what we meet. Lord, perhaps there may be changes, as Martin said, things, Lord, that we're not expecting, things that you want us to do, Lord, that take us out of our comfort zones. We just pray, Lord, that you might prepare us, Father, for that. Take us on with you so that we might be a real light in this dark world, Father, to those around us. Finally, Father, we just pray for ourselves. Just be with us, Lord. speak to us, develop our faith, make us ready, Father, for what is ahead, so that on that day, Lord, we might meet with you, that you will indeed, Lord, find faith on earth in us. We ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Paul, for leading us in our prayers. So on the back of everything we've heard this morning, on the back of all the prayers and everything, the question that I left you with, or the three questions I left you with from the message of who am I, what do you think, and will you follow? Our final hymn this morning is, O Jesus, I have promised to serve you to the end. And this is like our declaration of the questions this morning. So let's sing together. Father, we thank you for your word and for taking the time to be with us this morning. We pray that as we think about the questions that you challenged us with, Lord, that as we go into this week, you would go before us, you would comfort us, you would guide us, and you would reassure us of your presence. Father, strengthen our faith in you, that we may be good witnesses. We pray, Lord, that you would be with all those that are here this morning, those that aren't able to have been with us. We pray that you would be close to them and you would let them know that we're thinking of them and that you are close to them. And in all that we do, Lord, we offer ourselves to you and pray that we would be good followers. Amen. And let's have a blessing. I've written it down slightly differently than normal, but it means the same thing. But if we could do the blessing in the way that I've written it on the screen, that would be really nice. So together we say, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with each one of us as we go forward in his name. May the Lord of God be with each one of us
as we serve him.
And may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be upon each of us.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Bless you all and have a good week.
Thank you, Martin.
Thank you. I don't know if there are any notices.
Yes, please, Martin. Just two reminders, because we'll be in church next week and then we'll be away. But this coming Thursday, we're having a coffee morning here at 219 Obelisk for Macmillan Cancer. So if you fancy a cup of coffee and a piece of cake, you're very welcome between 10 and 12. The weather forecast at this point in time, fingers crossed, looks good, so we can sit outside. The other thing is, on October the 2nd, we're having a fashion sale, not a fashion show, a fashion sale in the church hall at the Baptist from 2:30 till 4. The clothes are from Marks and Spencer's, Next, White Stuff, all the named brands. Entry is £3. We're not doing refreshments because we're trying to make it as simple as possible. And the money raised will go to our future fund. So it's a Methodist run thing, but it would be lovely to see you all. We have got tickets on sale. I will have them next Sunday, but you can pay on the door. So thank you.
Thanks, Penny.
Just to remind everybody that we are meeting for prayer on Zoom as normal on Wednesday this week. So if you want to join us on Wednesday, that will be going ahead as normal at 11 o'clock. And as you know, next week we're back in the church building. And I think Reverend Francis is leading our service next week. Is that right, Trevor?
That's correct. Yes, yes, yes. And just to say, it will still be going. If there's anybody that can't actually be in church, then it will still be going out via Zoom for those that wish.
But the Zoom service will be 10:45, won't it?
Yes, yes. The start time is 10:45.
Yeah.
We're back to our original start time before COVID. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I shan't be able to join you next week, unfortunately, as it's our Harvest Festival next week. So I shall be at Carey, but we'll be thinking of you and praying for you anyway.
In fact, it's going to become increasingly more difficult because of the time factors now.
Well, any more notices from anyone?
I was just going to say thanks to Janet and Bob and I think Barbara and Andy, who were at our church yesterday for the Ride and Stride. I don't know how many visitors you had, but certainly appreciate you doing that, because obviously it enables people to be able to go round to the different churches. So thank you, all of you, for doing that.
Okay. Right, well, on that note then, I'll say thank you to Mara, if you're still listening, for doing our reading for us. And thank you all for your time in joining us in the service. And I pray you have a great and blessed week. Look after
yourself. Thank you, Martin.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
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 Bye.